2 weeks in a row now you get me. I was counting yesterday. I've been here 10 times for chapel this year so far. Awesome. Yeah. Woo. Some of you are like, oh, great. It's him again. All right. Anyway, I am happy. I'm very happy that I'm back today in particular because my next time to talk to you was scheduled to be during spring break. And, well, we're not going to be here during spring break. And I really wanted to get back here and talk more about sola fide, faith alone. And just to review, last week I talked to you about how unspeakably awful hell is and how unimaginably wonderful heaven is, and more accurately, the new heaven and the new earth that we talk about, that we read about in Revelation. We can't even comprehend really how wonderful that's going to be right now, but the difference between the two, if you recall, is whether or not we come by faith alone to Christ alone, which is what we learn in Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Faith alone, we have to come to Jesus by faith alone. This is that is how God has chosen to save sinners like you and me, by faith alone. That's how He declares us righteous in His sight. None of us is righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. But He declares us righteous by our faith. Now, toward the end of our time last week, I mentioned that some, and actually many people, don't believe this. They don't believe that we are saved by coming to Jesus by faith alone. In fact, there are even some who claim Christ, they would say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe we come to Jesus by belief alone, by faith alone. And this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes about one of the passages in the Bible that some use to teach that we don't come to Jesus by faith alone. And that passage is James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, for those of you who are writing this down. And I'm going to start off by reading verses 14 through 17. Listen carefully this morning, okay? It says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." Now, who can tell me what works are? Anyone got an idea of what works are? That's part of it. Works are the things that we do. We can do bad works if we're sinful, or we can... it's okay, but you can put your hand down, okay? We can do bad works if we're sinful, we can try to do good works that please God. Works in this passage are the things we do. And in this case, it's the good things we do. When we understand that, just reading this passage, listening to what I just read, it sounds like James believed we need more than faith to be saved. He said, faith, if it has no works, is dead. So we need works too, because faith without works is dead. But I want you to keep listening. "But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar?" Now, do you guys and girls remember that story about Isaac and Abraham? It's from Genesis chapter 22. And Abraham was an old man, and his wife Sarah was also what we would call an older woman, not quite as old as Abraham. You're not supposed to call a woman old, but she was an old woman. But she was not able to have a child. She was way past the time to have a child. But God told Abraham that she would have a son. And this was even when Abraham was 100 years old. And he did. Abraham and Sarah had a child. They named him Isaac, and the child grew up a bit. And then God said something else to Abraham. He said, take your son Isaac to the place I will show you and sacrifice him. What does that mean? What would he have to do to sacrifice Isaac? That's right. Put him on the altar and kill him. Because that's what they did to the animals on the altar when they did the sacrifice. And, well, I don't have time to go through the whole story. It's a beautiful story. I wish I did have time to do it. But the point I want to make is that Abraham did exactly what God told him to do. He did good works. He did exactly what God told him to do. And then right at the last second, before he was about to take the knife to do the sacrifice to Isaac, God stopped him and said, hey, look over there. I've provided for you a substitute lamb caught in the thorns. And that points us to Jesus. I wish I could tell you all more about that this morning, but it tells us about how Jesus is our substitute, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But the point James is making when he brings this up in James 2 is that Abraham here in these verses is justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar. It says he was justified by works, not faith, like Paul says. So do Paul and James disagree? Does the Bible say one thing in one place and then say something else in another place? Because just reading that, if we don't think about it, it sure does sound like it. But the Bible is not saying something different here. We can always trust what the Bible says. Sometimes we just have to study it harder to know. And when we study the letter of James, what we find is that he was making a little bit different point than Paul was making. You see, Paul, I read to you from the book of Romans last week, and that was written by Paul. And in the book of Romans, Paul is talking about how a sinner like you and a sinner like me can stand in the presence of God. God is holy, 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 and I am not. So how can I stand in the presence of God? He was writing about how God, who is righteous, can save people like us and still be righteous himself. And as I told you last week, it's by turning away from my sins and putting all of my trust, all of my faith in Jesus Christ. And by trusting in Christ, by faith alone, is how Paul says we are saved. There's nothing that I can do to earn my salvation. You know, if I'm trying to, you know, run up a hill to get to God and he's up there and I can never run hard enough or fast enough or long enough. I cannot do it. I'm incapable of doing it. But if I trust in Christ, I'm there. We have to trust in Jesus, period. Now, James is talking about something a little bit different. He says, you know, he's talking about how people who say they trust in the Lord sometimes don't act like it. Like earlier in the letter, in the verses right before I read to you this morning, he's talking about some people in the church who would say they are Christians, but they are not obeying what God says. They're not obeying the command to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, what they were doing is some of them were given preferential treatment. They were treating the rich people in the church good. You know, you sit where you want to. You sit in the best seats. And then the poor people, you sit, you know, where whatever's left, maybe on the floor. You know, you sit in the back, whatever. So the poor people were not treated as well as the rich people. And you know, that's not acting like Christ. That's not acting like a Christian. You know, they said they believed in Jesus, but they weren't acting like it. And faith, if it has no works, if it doesn't show itself in obedience to Christ, well, the point James is making is, what kind of faith is that? What would you think of me if I said I believe in Jesus, but then I just started acting hateful toward you? I mean, I can't stand you. You stink. What would you think of me? Would you think I've really believed in Jesus? Would you think my faith is in Jesus? Would you? No. course you wouldn't, because faith, if it has no works, it's dead, being by itself. So back to Abraham now. James explains what he means when he says Abraham was justified by works. In verses 22 through 24, he says this. He's talking about Abraham here. You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Of course, that sounds curious too, doesn't it? But what James is saying here is that Abraham's faith was working with his works, and as a result of his works, faith was perfected. In other words, what that means is God saved Abraham by faith alone, but Abraham proved his faith. He proved it was real by his works, by obeying God. Now, I want to repeat that. Abraham was saved by faith alone, but Abraham proved his faith was real by obeying God. And he was called the friend of God because friends of God are those who trust him. Jesus actually says to his disciples, you are my friends. He says that in the book of John. And he says that to people who are following him, who are doing what he says. Friends of God are those who trust in him, and because they trust in him, they obey his commandments. So in that sense, we aren't justified by faith alone. We prove our faith to others, not to God. We prove our faith to others, to the world, by what we do. No one's going to believe you're a Christian if you don't act like a Christian. No one's going to believe you are someone who follows Christ if you don't actually follow Christ. We prove our faith in Christ by obeying what Christ has said because we believe in him. And Abraham isn't the only one in the Bible. The Bible is full of people, examples. James gives us one more in verse 25. He says, in the same way was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? You remember Rahab was there in Jericho, and you can read about that in the book of Joshua. And what she did helped the nation of Israel. You know, she wasn't an Israelite, but she proved her faith in God by helping the people of God defeat Jericho. She proved to the Israelites her faith by doing that. And that's why James concludes his thought in verse 26 by saying, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, I chose this passage for two reasons this morning. The first reason is that there are going to be several times in your lives, if you believe in Jesus, there are going to be several times in your lives, if you believe the Bible, that someone is going to say, well, the Bible doesn't really mean what it says. Or they're going to say, the Bible contradicts itself. It says one thing here and then another thing there. People who don't trust in Jesus say this all the time. They might even go to the next, they might even go to the text I just read to you from James and say, look, see, I told you, we're not saved by faith alone. We're saved by Jesus alone. We have to believe and do good works. We have to do our part too. And you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ alone to say, the Bible does mean what it says. No, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Yes, we are saved by faith in Jesus alone. But the works we do prove our faith. They justify us before men, not God. See, you students are going to have faith in Jesus to withstand attacks for the rest of your lives on your faith. And you're going to have to study your Bible. And you're going to have to know your Bible to do that. That's one reason why sola scriptura is so important. Now, the second reason I chose this passage, though, is for you to know that simply saying you believe in Jesus is not enough. Simply saying you believe in Jesus is not real belief. It's not real faith. On the contrary, students, real faith shows itself by living the way Jesus tells us to live, by obeying His commands, by believing the Bible, by doing what it says. And that means loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul, our mind and all of our strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And that means because we believe in Jesus, we'll know lying is wrong, so we will choose not to lie. We'll know that stealing is wrong, so we'll choose not to steal. We'll know that hating others is wrong, and so we'll choose not to hate others. And we'll know that being kind to others is right, and so we'll be kind to others. We'll know that giving is good, so we'll not be selfish, but we'll give. We'll be giving people. We'll know that telling the truth is the right thing to do, and so we'll be all about the truth. We'll tell the truth, and we will show we really believe in Jesus by doing these things, by living not to earn God's favor, not to save ourselves, but to show that we believe in Jesus by living like He has lived. And that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for your teachers. That's my prayer for your parents. That's my prayer for me. Trust, place your faith in Jesus alone. And be saved. And if you believe in Jesus, God will justify you. And if you do that, if God saves you, then live like a Christian. Show you are a Christian by how you live. And thus, faith alone, sola fide, will be shown to be true in the life God has given you. And I pray that'll be the case. Let's close in prayer. Father, may Your grace abound on these students and their teachers and others today, so that we place our faith in You and know that we are saved by faith alone and Christ alone, and know that all we can do as a result is live like You desire. Father, may the glory of our lives, or may the mission of our lives be the glory of Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.